Good morning. My name is Charles Baggs, and I'm the church administrator. I am not the senior pastor, okay? Our senior pastor, Gary Weber, is he is a guest speaker this morning at San Jose Baptist Church. San Jose is celebrating their 60th anniversary, and so they asked Gary if he would come down and speak. What you have to know is San Jose was a church plant of Southside Baptist Church, which is exciting. So be in prayer for this for them this morning, and especially for Gary. What a great weekend this has been. I mean, yesterday, right, Charlie? It was a beautiful day. I mean, you know, one out of every 4 years, you have a great day. And so it was not that bad. So as I go through and I'm speaking, if every so often I bark or I say, go dogs or something like that, Josh, I know you're a gator, so don't turn my mic off, okay? So we'll get through it. So today we kind of continue our series of because. You know, why do we do the things we do in church? And, you know, I'm sure some of you, especially that are new to the church or just visiting or maybe even a longtime member, begins to ask, why do we do some of the things we do in church? So a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Gary spoke on why do we dunk people underwater? And then last week we talked about why do we teach from the Bible in every sermon? And today I want to talk about why are we always asking for money? And it probably seems like every time you turn around, you know, we've got some other kind of campaign going on and we're asking for more money. But the truth be known, if you go back and really read the scriptures, Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven and hell. Because really and truly, if you look at the basic concepts of money and generosity and why money is such a thermometer to the condition of our heart. Now, it would be very easy for me this morning to really spend a lot of time and say, why do we ask you to give? If you were at the stewardship banquet last Sunday night, and we just had a great time, where's Neil and Dave and somewhere in here. If you guys missed it, we had a great time with them. And then Caleb and Kristen back there, you guys just did a fantastic job. We had a good time, but we talked about our operating budget. I mean, we have a $1.25 million operating budget, and that sounds like a lot of money. But it takes a lot of money to run this operation. It takes a lot of money to keep the doors open in this building. But it also includes all the expenses that we have around the various ministries, our next-gen ministries, our preschool, our children's, our students, our Awana programs on Wednesday night, our vacation Bible school in the summer. We have our adult grow group ministry. We have the WMU that meets on a regular basis. We also have all of the things that we do to support home and foreign missions through the cooperative program or through the Jacksonville Baptist Association. So there are a lot of things. We've got church plants like City Church. We've got the Corinne Church. We have community partnerships like ESL, English as a Second Language, or the Larson Outreach Center, or the Pulse, or Hersong. And then we've got the capital campaign where we're guaranteeing that we will give $67,000 every year to mission offerings such as Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong, Baptist Children's Home, World Hunger, the McGuire State Missions, and then supporting church plants, church planting efforts in Orlando and Toronto and in France. And then we have all kind of numerous capital projects that we need to do, like renovating the organ, renovating the second floor, resurfacing the parking lot, putting new floors in the preschool and in the children's area, and air conditioner replacements. We have 50 air conditioners in this building, and we're always having to replace one. The good thing is, the good news is, what you should know is about 18 to 20% of all the contributions that you give goes to missions. And that's what we're all about. So while all these things are really important, and that's what we have to do to keep the doors open, is it really the reason why we give? I'd like to take just a minute. Let's talk a little bit first about tithes and offerings. If you go back and you're reading the Old Testament, you know that God, through Moses and others, gave a lot of laws and requirements for good works. And God needed to do that at that particular point in time in the history of man. But one of those requirements was a tithe, and that man was to give 10% of everything that they earned and grew to the tabernacle or the temple. And so if you take your Bibles and look at Leviticus with me, 27:30. And there are several passages in the Old Testament that talks about this, but if you look at 27:30, it says, "A tithe of everything from the land, where the grain from the soil or fruit from the trees belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." So that was a requirement at that time. Now, when Christ died on the cross for us, he fulfilled all the requirements of the law. And he made this 10% tithe really obsolete. So with the sacrifice of Christ, man was no longer justified by keeping works, by good works, or by keeping the law. He was justified simply by his faith in Jesus as the Son of God. So as Christians, what we do is we freely give to the work of the Lord, to the local church. We give to local, other ministries. But our offering is a lot more than just that check you write during the week or just that online giving that you set up. It's really the service that you give back to God because he's given so much to us. Now, God's really not very interested in our monetary offerings. He doesn't need them. I mean, he has all the resources that he needs to accomplish his plans and his purposes. And what he really desires and what he really values and what he really wants is that our hearts overflow with gratitude and thanksgiving to him for what he's done to save us. Take a look at, this is a good passage. Look at 2 Corinthians. See if I, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So God really values a heart that gives generously and willingly and cheerfully in response to his love and grace. So why do we give? Do you give to the budget? Do you give because we have to keep this building running? You know, this morning we had an elevator go down. We have a screen that doesn't work. Is it because we have to pay the salaries and the benefits of our staff? Is it because of the ministries, our preschool, our children, all those activities? Is it to fund mission trips and church plants? And you know, I could just go on and on and on about all the reasons why you should give to these facilities. And as the church administrator, let me tell you, I kind of live, breathe, sometimes anxiously sweat our church budget. But you are such a generous church. You really are. Through the month of September, our offerings were 5% greater than what we projected. And our expenses, and we really watched those expenses very closely, were $1,000 less than what we planned. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but at the same time, we really want to make sure that we do not waste your money. You have entrusted that to us to be good stewards, you know, to carry out the mission of this church. And so as we go through and we start to put a budget together, we have a very consistent process where we take these projection cards that you will bring this morning, and we look at our historical giving patterns, and we really try to project what that income could be. And then going back looking at that income, we work with the ministry leaders and say, okay, what are your plans for next year? What are the programs that you want to do? And so we look at what that potential cost is. And then we go back and we look at all of our administrative costs. How much money are we going to have to spend on electricity and gas and water, repairing AC units, all those type things. And we historically look at that and we try to project. And then we come back and say, okay, where can we save money? Because every dollar we save, especially on administrative or just infrastructure, is a dollar that we can spend in spreading God's word, spreading the good news of Jesus. So we go through that process every year. But the point I want to make is that the church budget is really not, it's not the point. It really is not the point. So, you know, that's one of the things that we have to look at. So I learned to give at a very young age. My mom and dad, they taught me how to give. And when I was in Sunday school, or when I was going to Sunday school as a small child, every Sunday we had to carry our little offering envelope. Now, those of you, and I see you smiling, Laura, for those in the middle and over here, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Over here on this side, maybe some of you do and you don't. But when you went to Sunday school, you had these little white offering envelopes. You remember those? Yeah, and there were these little boxes here. And one of them was, you were present. One, you were attending worship service. You didn't, you know, if you came to Sunday school, you didn't skip church. Studied your lesson, giving, and then read the Bible daily. I always had a little problem with that, reading the Bible daily, because as a young boy, I was too busy in the afternoons after school, outside playing ball, and at night I was doing homework. So I struggled a little bit with that, but I could study my Sunday school lesson. But the point is that every Sunday, my parents gave me an allowance. And I took 10% of that and I put it in that envelope. Now, where's Darren? Where are you, Darren? Are you here? He's in the back. Okay, well, Darren's one of these millennials. And my parents gave me $1 allowance every week. And the reason I mentioned Darren is he probably doesn't have more than $5 in his wallet right now, because as a millennial, he pays for everything with his iPhone and with his debit card. But a dollar allowance probably doesn't sound like a lot. But I grew up in a little rural community, went to a Southern Baptist church in that rural community. And out there in the country like that, you were either Baptist or Methodist. And the Baptist had the best fried chicken on Wednesday nights, so it was a good place to go. And so, but anyway, so, you know, a dollar, you could go to the little local grocery store there in the community. Cokes were a nickel or 6 cents. A large Coke was a dime. You could get a candy bar for a dime. You could get a moon pie for 15 cents. That's right. You could get a half pint of chocolate milk for 15 cents and a pint for a quarter. And on the counter there was these two large jars, and some of them had big cookies like this. You could get two for a nickel, and then there were smaller ones that you could get five for a nickel. So, you know, it was not a lot of money. But I learned that I took the first dime out of that dollar, and I put it in my envelope every Sunday morning. Now, as a young boy, I didn't really understand the concept of why I was doing that. But my parents were teaching me at the time to give back to God. And it's a lesson that has really served me well over the years, because, you know, as you get finished whether high school or college and you start to get out on your own, money's tight. And it's learning to manage money is not very easy. And so a lot of times we don't necessarily look, what do I need to give back to God? We're more concerned about paying the bills. Maybe it's a student loan. Maybe it's something else that you've got to deal with. But you don't think about that. But I really thank my parents for instilling me at a very young age that I give back to God. And there's been times through my life and married life, even thinking back about some of the capital campaigns that we had 15 or 20 years ago, making a commitment to that and really not knowing where that was going to come from. But you know what? God blessed us, and He gave more to us and allowed us to meet whatever those commitments were. So I guess my whole point is while sometimes you don't know where that money's come from, it's coming from God, and He will provide for you. You remember the story of David, the young boy, sent out to meet Goliath, later chosen to be, you know, God chose him to be the king of Israel. If you read through those scriptures, David went through a lot of struggles in his life before he became the king. But once he did, and he kind of reflected back on all of his success and looking at all of his wealth, he realized that everything really came from God. You know, it was God that was blessing him. So take your Bibles, look at 1 Chronicles 29:10. Actually, the passage would probably run through 20. But in my Bible, it's entitled David's Prayer. It goes like this. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. For who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." So looking back on his life, King David really realized that all of God's blessing came from him, from God. And everything on earth, not just David's possessions, came from him. God not only owned it, but he was the source of all of it. He's the source of what money cannot buy. He's the source of all we enjoy. He is the source of everything that enables us in our accomplishments. So when we begin to recognize that it all belongs to him, it leads us, like David, to a great sense of gratitude. Now, if you back up a little bit, go back to the very first verse in Genesis 1:1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And as the creator, God has absolutely rights over everything. And if you look at the biblical doctrine of stewardship, it really defines man's relationship as God with God. God is the owner. We are the manager. And he has made us co-workers with him in administering all aspects of our life. And so we're responsible to manage what God is entrusting to us. You know, sometimes we may think it belongs to us, and we may accumulate a lot of stuff over our lifetime. But when you die, you don't take it with you. I can tell you from a personal experience this past year, it's all left behind. It doesn't go. So it really belongs to God. So I have a question. How many of you have too much money? Anybody in the balcony? Somebody? I don't think any of us ever have too much money. I mean, it seems like you start a new job, you get a promotion, there's always another expense. And so you're kind of struggling to make sure you make ends meet. But everything we do, all the money we spend really is kind of shaped by our own personal biases. The first one is security. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? We don't know when we're going to have that physical problem that we have to go to the doctor or we might have to have surgery. We don't know when our air conditioning unit is going to go out on us and we've got to replace that or our hot water heater. I mean, those things are things that we just can't control. And so as a result, when we're looking and trying to manage our money, we come from the perspective of, let's make sure that we've got enough money. So God, I'll give you some later, but right now I just need to make sure I've taken care of all the things that I need, that I'm responsible for. Then we're concerned about providing for our family, okay? Whether it's your spouse, it's your children, it's your grandchildren, or maybe like when some of us get to the age that we are, we're starting to take care of our parents, which is a big responsibility, and sometimes they need your help. And so you look and you say, okay, God, I've got these obligations I've got to take care of. I'll see what I can do later. Or maybe it's just status and privilege. Because money sometimes can buy you influence and power. And sometimes that's what we like to have, is money and power. We want people to look at us and look at all that we own and all that we have and say, he's a successful man. But when you die, as I said before, you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. So how are we supposed to manage the resources that God has given us? Well, I think the first thing you do is you prioritize. You start by giving back to God first. You know, one of the things that I do personally, just my own personal testimony, is that I've got it set up where my little retirement income and the like, it all comes in like on a Friday. It's direct deposited into my bank. And so I said, okay, the best thing for me to do is to set up my online giving so on Monday, that following Monday, my contribution to Southside Baptist Church comes out. In my bank on Friday, out on Monday. Make it a priority. Then start with a percentage, okay? I mean, I know the tithe was supposed to be 10%. We can't always all give 10%. But God really understands your financial situation. He knows more about you than you probably know about yourself. And he's very understanding of that. But start somewhere, even if it's a very small amount. If it's not 10%, maybe it's 5%. Or if it's not 5%, it's 1% or 0.5%. But start there. And you'll be so surprised how God blesses you in your life and gives back to you a lot more than what you are giving to him. And then finally, be progressive. Be progressive. And over time, allow yourself to just increase your generosity. And I think you'll find that it becomes easier and easier and easier. God has given so much to us. And when our resources are tight, he's merciful, he understands. But what we give what we can with the goal of tithing and maybe one day going even beyond that. There's an old joke that if you're in Sunday school and your Sunday school teacher asks you a question, and you don't know the answer, what do you say?
Jesus.
To whom do we give? Why do we give? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is why we give. We give in response to the love and grace of God, not in order to earn his love and grace. So as our musicians come forward and as we take time to kind of bring our projection cards this morning, let me just ask you to really be in prayerful consideration and not give to the budget, not give to invested, not worry about all of those type things, but look inside your heart. How can I give back to God just a portion of what he has given to me? So as they come this morning and they lead us in this time of worship, we have a couple of boxes down front for you to come and bring your projection cards and do so prayerfully about how we can give back to God. Thank you.